Today we're discussing if this was a generational fumble. Da-da!
No!
Do you have any idea what I mean when I say that?
No, but I assume you're... I'll be cheating because we talked about it a little bit during our rewatch time, but I assume you're talking about the ad? Or are you not talking about the Dragon Ball ad?
I'm not talking about the Dragon Ball ad, but today we got a little bit of rewatch. Today we got a little bit of an ad that we're going to discuss, a Dragon Ball ad, where they did some reanimation of scenes and looked absolutely beautiful. I'm going to pose Dotto with a question, have a bit of a discussion, and... Dotto, the intro that I was discussing. Are you keeping up with the hit anime mobile game Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle?
Not too much. I know y'all got like a little celebration or something, whatever it is.
So they're doing a global Dokkan campaign. Okay.
Right. Okay. Isn't this like replacing the anniversary for global or something?
So what they did, you know, we would typically have this thing they would call Worldwide Download Celebration. And they would do that because if you're not familiar, there was a JP version of the game, or there still is. There's a JP version of Dokkan Battle, and then there's a global version for every other country outside of Japan. And they celebrated anniversaries at different times because the Japan version of Dokkan released on January 30th of 2015, and the global version released on July 7th. of 2015, so 6 months later. So they would celebrate at different times, and they were just on completely different schedules, and they finally are synced up now. But they would come together in the end of August and in the middle of September to do this massive celebration together. But it makes no sense to do that anymore because both games are synced up, so like that makes no sense. So what they've done now is they've combined Global's anniversary celebration that they would usually celebrate right now, which would just be the anniversary that Japan celebrated like, you know, 5.5-6 months ago. And they combined it with the worldwide celebration to do one massive celebration. Now, we saw the characters that are coming, and they are, you know, Dokkan introduced this new tag mechanic where you can like swap between two characters, which is really cool, by the way. So you summon for one character, but you really get two. Right now, we've got Kellen Khalifa, we've got a Goku and Vegeta, and a Goku and Vegeta, basically. One Goku and Vegeta that fuse into Vegeta, one Goku and Vegeta that fuse into Gogeta. And now they teased the characters, and we've seen them for this celebration, Dotto. They're doing Blue Goku and Vegeta, who are from the future arc, and they're doing Rose and Zamasu. But do you know the controversial aspect of these characters, Dotto?
I believe I did read this, yes, and it's that they just don't actually fuse. They just stay there?
So
like they're normal?
It's just an animation. So all it is that we're going off of right now, based on the wording that they said and based on the fact that they don't have like arts, because if they fused into actual Vegito, then they would make an art for the character, right? Every time there's an actual like usable character in the game, they have like an art that goes with them. And there was no art shown. So we're under the impression that Zamasu and Rose have an ability to fuse into merge Zamasu, but it only happens as an animation, which I'm real curious how they're going to handle that one, Dotto, because the Vegito one's pretty easy, right? They can fuse, do some big attack, and then they could technically defuse like they do when they're fighting Zamasu. But Zamasu's is like a permanent fusion. The only reason why he defuses is when like he is killed by or split in half by the Sword of Hope, and then he becomes like his infinite form, right? And he's in the sky, and then Zeno comes and saves everybody. So I'm curious how they're going to even handle that, because the Vegeta one makes sense because they defuse, so they could defuse in the animation. But then the Zamasu one is like, how? Like, canonically, how are you going to explain that it's just an animation and they don't stay as Zamasu? So
you think the canon's what's going to get people down?
Hey, man, as we've seen with Dragon Ball Daima, people really do care about their canon, and they care about like the continuity of stories. And, you know, it's like, well, it's not very canonical for a Zamasu to do a cool fusion animation and then somehow defuse and I'm back to using standard Zamasu or standard Rose. Like that, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I get it. I mean, if nothing else, I mean, they just aren't fusions, so people don't like it as much.
I think I wanted to get your take on this. Do like, if they were going to do this character and they're going to incorporate, because I think you could do these characters without incorporating Vegito, right? Like that, like you could you these characters do enough in the future arc, the blue version of Goku and blue version of Vegeta, that you don't need Vegito at all. And so I think it's just the weirdness of incorporating him at all as an active, whereas I like Goku. So the way it works is that when you're playing as Goku, Goku can fuse into Vegito. And then when you're playing as Vegeta, his thing is he calls in Trunks and does what I'm assuming is his father-son Galaga with Trunks. But there's plenty of Goku shit from Future that they could have done without needing to use the Vegito stuff. So my stance is like either full send it or don't do it. So I was curious where did you land on that? Like if you were going to play Dokkan, you were going to summon for these characters, would you not just either A, fully commit to it not being a Vegito blue unit, or B, fully commit? Like, not there's like why are we doing this weird in between thing is really ultimately where I'm at with it.
I mean, I don't mind a weird in between thing as long as it's like, you know, if it's just a nice little touch, then
okay.
If they're doing a lot with just the characters, then I don't mind like a little Vegito thing, honestly. I think that's where I'm at. I don't know. The mobile games are in a weird place, bro, where it's like I don't even know what you do, bro. Like Dokkan been dragging it for so long, like there's just nothing new going on.
Yeah.
And then actually, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I saw a lot of people just say, like, I hope it's not Daima. Please God, don't be Daima.
There were a lot of people saying that. Yeah.
To me, he's always gonna hit crazy because, bro, that is brand new. Like how
Yeah.
If I was the Dokkan user, like the team behind it, I'd be like, well, fuck. That was a miss.
The thing is, I have a buddy of mine that like still plays Dokkan a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit. But he's not like super deep. And he saw my notification yesterday and texted me and said, wait. Because we all thought it would be Dokkan related until the teasers came out. Because it just makes sense, right? Like the thing about the mobile games, we've talked about this with Legends, but the thing about mobile games is like they're supposed to be turnkey. Like they're just supposed to be like you develop the like it's something new and you make them be in the game like ASAP, bro, because it's a mobile game, so why not? And he texts me and he's like, wait, so it's not Daima? And I'm like, it's not. They're going back to Future. Like I don't get it. And I don't get why people don't want Daima, because like, sure, you know, you can critique it with its substance and everything like that, but as far as the actual like aura, which let's be real, that's the important shit of selling someone something on a mobile game, on a mobile gacha game. They do the aura pretty well. I won't lie. Like Goku going Super Saiyan 4 is going to look sick as shit in Dokkan. Like it will. It's going to look great. So I'd much rather have Daima stuff than going back to Future right now. That's just me. Like I
think so. I mean, Daima's brand new. Like, I don't know why people don't like it for that reason alone. I do think if Daima, this is crazy because I already think Daima did too much, but if they leaned in, they should have just went full meathead, bro. Like, we should have gotten Super Saiyan 4 Vegeta and Gogeta.
Yeah.
And I agree. And then this wouldn't have even been a question, bro. Like, everybody would have been on its side, but I do just think they skimmed the surface of the meathead. And now, you know, we're back to Future. But I have seen Dokkan on Twitter, like every 4 days, I'll see another tweet about this celebration and people being upset.
I mean, it's like, I guess for me, as someone who actually still actively plays the game, I just want the new shit. Like I do, like I want the new shit. Like I cannot believe that we're in a world where Sparking Zero might actually get its Daima characters all out before Dokkan does. Like what are we talking about, man? Like there is no world where developing a Dokkan character is more difficult than developing a Sparking Zero 3D modeled character. It's going to do a bunch of crazy shit. Like it's just not, dude.
Maybe they're trying to drag it, bro. They might be just trying to drag it out. Trying to wait for Super 2 to come back.
And I've seen people say that too, but my argument with that is then it doesn't matter whether you do it now or do it later. Like the time frame of which it's going to take up is still going to be the same. So whether you just spent like 3 or 4 months right now doing a bunch of Daima characters, or you spend that 3 or 4 months like a year from now, it's all the same. We're still like going to be pending a new Dragon Ball thing. It's so interesting having this discussion with you here on this podcast about this, because we'll get comments that's like, people saying they don't want it back and they need to let it go. But I don't know, man. I would love a weekly. Like, I would love a weekly thing back. I love doing that Dyma thing. I wish, you know, it, like, not everyone was tapped in on that. Like, 100%. Like, I can tell you based on the feedback of the Dokkan players, like, people were just not tapped in. And I think the farther we get away from Dyma, I think I'm on record saying on the podcast that, like, once we were done with all 20 episodes, like, people will look back on it fondly. I think it's the exact opposite. I think the farther we're getting away from Dyma ending, people are like, damn, that was a pile of dog shit. Like, that's...
I don't know about that. You gotta drop a hot take, bro.
That's not me. I'm still Team Dyma. I'm seeing more and more in the community.
I do think it's getting more popular opinion to be like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy. I thought it's still crazy to me. It's crazy because, like, bro, like, we truly were the enlightened fence post sitters in the beat. We never went crazy, but bro, like, when it was up, like, we were in the middle and people hated. And now, like, we're in the middle and people be just like super far hating. It's like, bro, relax, dog. Like, it was pretty good.
It was. I rewatched that transformation sequence the other day because I really thought this was going to be Dyma. Like, I genuinely did think it was going to be Dyma. And I was like, this is just like a week and a half ago before we started getting teasers and stuff. I was like, let me just rewatch that real quick, you know, just to kind of like get a taste of it again so I can be ready to, you know, see it in Dokkan. Nope. Nothing. Nada. And I was like, damn, not that. It was good. Still, if you're going to watch Dyma and you watch this episodes like 18, 19, and 20, that shit is fire. Genuinely fire. Dotto, I want to talk more on that. But first, I just want to let them know that this podcast is supported by you guys by clicking that join button here. We're going to patreon.com/keymoments. Becoming a key member, you get access to bonus content like our reactions to our Dragon Ball Z rewatch, all our reactions to Dragon Ball Dyma, bonus podcasts, bonus gameplay videos, bonus general videos. Because we've made over 90 episodes of this podcast, which means there's only 90 episodes of bonus content. Dotto, my question to you, and I brought this up when we stopped talking about it because I said this would be a fun podcast topic. And my question to the audience as well. If you could sacrifice Dragon Ball Dyma or Dragon Ball Dyma Season 2, if that ever happens, for a specifically Dragon Ball Z reanimation similar to the ad that we just got, where they reanimated a lot of Bulma scenes using the Dragon Radar, would you do it? Would you sacrifice Dyma?
We were talking about this, dog, and I think, again, this is for the ad. Like, people saw the ad, and it was the Bulma, like, reanimated type shit, like, inspiring creators. But, bro, I'm a stand on it. I want to see new shit. I'm not trying to watch Dragon Ball Z again. This shit would be the fourth time for me. It's just no point. There's like Kai already did it and it was fine. You know, it's time to stop dragging it.
So
let's do some new shit.
My opinion on this. Here's my opinion. Cause I see this brought up a lot, by the way. This is brought up. I feel like this is brought up a lot. But my opinion on a Z reanimation or them just, you know, because the thing people love to push their glasses up, Dotto, is that the manga is just called Dragon Ball, right? There's no distinction between Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. It just runs all the way through as Dragon Ball. And so I see a lot of people say it'd be cool if they would do like a Dragon Ball reanimated and it's fast paced, no filler, you know, and it's just literally from original all the way to the end of Z. And that would be really cool. But to me, that's something you do when we're in a better place. Like,
better place
than what we're at right now. I mean, dude,
are we struggling?
Well, dude,
I'm not sure if the relationship's gonna make it.
I know. I guess if you're just like a standard, like you're just kind of a passerby, like you watch Dragon Ball growing up, and maybe you watch Dyma, but you're not too deep into the communities. You're like, wait, you guys just got a series, and I've also seen people say this too. You just got a series, but like, Dyma was not what people wanted, clearly. Like, and it was cool, but the reason why it's not being widely adopted is because it was this weird in-between piece, like, and it didn't progress the story. And if anything, if somehow it ends up being like connected and actually canonical, it just makes all of it even more confusing. And so that was the issue with that. So if you are someone that's like that, that's why, like, yeah, I know we just wrapped up a 20 episode new Dragon Ball series, but because it was in this weird ass place, it all feels so strange. So you would not take that. You would take a season two of Diamond is what you're saying.
Yeah, I want new stuff. I don't. I mean, what hurts is that Daima could have been the new stuff, but then it was just all old stuff. So yeah, no, I need, I want it to be new. I want it to be like interesting. I want new bad guys. Or even when I say new bad guys, again, I do want to, you can bring back Cooler or like do a Janemba arc, like a Janemba arc in Daima, like the evilest evil of all evils. Like that would be fine. You know, I'll take that too. But just like, damn, bro, like, and I'll say it again, bro, because now you're like testing me with this all of Dragon Ball thing. Like, I am not into early Dragon Ball that much. I would just wait until like Goku starts fighting Tien in the tournament.
Oh, okay.
And then Raditz shows up, and I'm like, okay, now we kind of talking, bro. Like, Demon King, like the Piccolo stuff, Piccolo Jr. Other than that, like, you know, the rabbit and shit. Like, it's just like, all right, I don't need this.
I mean, again, I would presume that a lot of these are like one, you know, chapters are very fast, right? Like they're like multiple chapters per episode. Like it's a very modern adaptation. It is not drawn out at all. Like things are just happening. There is no world where we're doing a Bulma episode that we watched today for the rewatch ever in this type of series.
No, that shit was ass.
Which
I mean, again, it would just be like Kai. It would be Kai again.
Yes. Yes, but it would be animated at a level of Dragon Ball Daima, which I want to bring up right now, Dotto, because we had a comment. I feel like we stepped away from bringing in comments, and I want to start bringing those back some. So Melch actually commented and said, "You guys called Daima beautiful, but I think you have blinders on because the animation budget itself was good. Try to picture the demon realm right now in your head and try to picture the location of the final battle. Everything was just rocks and color in the color red. I can picture in my mind's eye every setting in OG, Dragon Ball Z, and Super." Dotto.
Hmm.
Wouldn't us be calling it beautiful is referring specifically to the animation itself? Is that not what we're referring to?
Wait, read the comment again, because did I miss something?
you guys called Daima beautiful, but I think you had blinders on because the animation budget itself was good. They are definitely contradicting, saying Daima was not beautiful is basically what they're saying, and saying that we're only calling it beautiful because it had a high animation budget. And they then tested us to say, try to picture the demon realm right now in your head and try to picture the location of the final battle, which I can specifically picture the final battle location. Because it's literally a like plateau in the sky with pillars all around it, right? But they said,
yeah, if this guy wants to make the argument that the environments aren't that interesting or that they don't spend time in the demon world, I mean, why are you arguing with us, dog? Like, we're on your side on that one. What?
Yeah, it sounds that, like we, that was one of
it
our
sounds like I just
complaints.
Agree with this guy.
But no.
Well, not that again. The environments are beautiful, like the environment art and everything. But like, is it forgetful? Yes, because we don't spend any time anywhere.
Yeah.
Is Demon World 1 the most forgettable piece of shit because it's literally we spawn in and have a laser fight?
Like, it's crazy to hype up Demon World 1 when they literally got progressively worse. 3 was easily the best and most interesting. 2 was like, okay. And then, I think I said that backwards. I didn't mean to say backwards, but 3 most interesting. 2 was just okay. And 1 was like a cool castle.
Nothing. It was
design,
just red.
But
yeah, it was just a castle.
Which is basically was Garlic Jr.'s castle. Like straight up, it mirrored a lot of that Garlic Jr. Dragon Ball Z the movie art like crazy. But no, they basically were just saying like they were contradicting. They were trying to say we were calling it beautiful, but we had blinders on because the animation budget itself was good. But is that not what, like, when I say it looks beautiful and I say I would love to see some more stuff animated like that, I am clearly referring to the animation itself. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I generally do think Melch is trying to basically say that Daima is not pretty. And I think that's just objectively wrong.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, even the character designs are good. The art style is good. The animation is obviously really good. I don't know. I don't know where to take. Honestly, I don't know where to take the critique of this comment, because if we're at the, like, if you don't think Daima looks good, then I ain't even going to lie to you, boss. Like, you might not be hating hard enough. Because if I thought Daima looked ugly, oh my god, the amount of shit I would talk, bro.
If Diamond
would be
looked
crazy.
Like the future arc from Dragon Ball Super, Like, how depressed would you be?
Yeah, let's just say Dyma isn't bringing home fucking 200K a year, bro. Like, I'm not dating Dyma for you know, the personality, dog. Like, let's just say that, dog. Like,
you're saying
hints of a personality there.
You're saying Dyma would need to be like 6'6", huh?
I'm saying Dyma would need to be at least 6 foot and drive a Ferrari. Yes. Now, tight shit.
No, I was really like, who? Let's say you literally take, like, on Melch's comment here, if you take how Dyma looks and you animate the Moro arc, you're going to tell me that you're not eating that up every single week. Like, that would seem crazy to me. If you are presented with two paths and Moro looks like the Termina Power, where sometimes it looks good and sometimes it looks really bad.
Super was so ugly.
Or you get Dyma, where every episode was consistently pretty. I'm choosing the path where it looks like Dyma. Like that, like, just, it's not even a question to me. So I don't totally get what Melch was going out there, because I am personally referring to the animation when I'm talking about.
Was this a YouTube, or is this just a screenshot of the comment, or is this like a YouTube like comment that you have pulled up?
I just took a screenshot.
Damn it. I wanted to see Melch's other opinion. No, like, I wanted to see like the wealth of, sometimes I'd be doing that, bro. Cause like, when it's like your channel,
you'll see what else they've commented.
Yeah. When it's your channel, you can see like their entire past comments.
Got it.
And it's useful for like getting a picture of what the person is. So I would have wanted to deep dive on this one.
My bad.
But as of now, yeah, no, I think Dyma is a good looking show. It wouldn't be my complaint. Gotta be honest. Would not be my go-to. The environment though, what do you agree on that? I can at least extend an olive branch on that. I wouldn't say it's the environment's fault though. It's just the fact that, they literally weren't on screen.
Damn. So on desktop, you can't like explore the other things that they've said. That sucks.
I think you can. Can you not? You just click on their, or maybe you can't. Maybe it is a mobile only thing.
I think it is. I think it's a mobile only thing. And unfortunately, I'm not. Oh shit. Wait. Okay. Wait. Melch made two comments on this video.
Any other comments?
Not only do I not want a manga adaptation of Dyma, I wish it had never happened in the first place. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait. Now we're starting to get the picture.
Yeah, they just
first
don't.
Of all, based on the manga one, that at least was based. The other one, you know, damn. But at the same time, hold up, because I'm not about
to say. You have to click on their profile. You have to click on their profile. They have over.
Oh, you got it. You got his whole list.
Whoa! They have 100 plus comments on our channel. What?
I mean, they had two on that one video. That checks out. And honestly, look,
they're based. Hang on. Wait a minute.
Nato, what are you agreeing
wait.
With?
They commented on addressing the controversy. My friends and I like to say, and this is to go even further beyond it, at random all the time. Hang on.
This is why we deep dive, because I feel like you came in here. Oh, what else did we
Dotto
find?
Shouting out Green Lantern and Green Arrow crossovers brought a tear to my eyes.
See, this guy. See, I knew that. See, I told you that little olive branch I extended. I could tell that there was something there. Now, he's a little harsher on Dyma than us. He's a... saying this term. He's like on the far right of the Dyma, you know, stuff. But that's okay. Like, he comes around on the other stuff, and that's okay.
Oh, shit. Oh man. I wanted to bring up a couple more comments here, and let me tell you, I knew this was going to happen, because when you start talking about the cost of video games, it becomes a really touchy subject for people.
No, because well, let me, before, because I haven't looked at these, but before you say anything, I look, it's bound to happen, bro. I take a very like realistic stance that is like, you know, can I just bring up one thing that is kind of a version of this?
Sure.
It's like, sometimes there's an issue that I find myself being on the side of like, just, I want to be like realistic. And sometimes that makes you sound like a corporate bootlicker. And this topic, it isn't. But one area I kind of felt, I don't even kind of feel, because they did like react to it crazy. But the Stop Killing Game stuff, have you seen this on the internet?
Yes.
Pirate Software has been getting reamed over the fucking coals for this, dude. And the area I was going to say I feel bad is that there's no way that you can say you're against it because it's just like, you can't. Like, there's no, and on this one, I actually do. I'm kind of, bro, you want to far right a dime. I'm far left to stop killing games. I think companies should be legally required somehow that they can't just brick your shit. Like, they should be playable in some fashion.
You mean there's an active thing that happened today?
No.
Anthem is being shut down in like 6
months.
Yes,
and you can't play it. And you can't play it.
Even though it has a single player campaign, you will not be able to play it. It literally,
yeah, bro.
This is a game that I have as a disc on my PS4, and you're telling me that after 2026, January of 2026, I can't even put that disc in my console and play the single player aspect of that game?
Exactly,
bro. That's the dumbest
shit
of all time.
Exactly, bro. This is why, I mean, you're not going to out crazy me on this, because I think it should be legally required, and so they can't expect, and look, this is a thing that is only going to get worse over time.
Absolutely.
Like, it's only going to get way worse. So it needs to be required now that you can't just fucking, all right, show's over. And then just like, it would be okay. Look, this is the thing. This is why Pirate Software got reamed over the coals, is because one, I only say I feel bad because I do think that even if you were like, no, I don't agree, that you were going to get killed anyway. But he was like, mega disagree.
Wait, but what did he mega disagree? Like, what exactly is there to mega disagree on with this? I guess I don't understand.
Well, there you go, Nana. Well, because I, again, not super intelligent on this, but basically he...
Podcast
was
moment.
Just like,
hang on, I got to say this is a
podcast moment. Official podcast moment.
But you go ahead.
Basically, his take was like, he was like misinterpreting the video a lot. And he's like, well, what do you want them to support things forever? Like, MMOs can't even exist like this. And it was just like, nobody was really asking for that. He was just like making up like the worst case scenario and then jumping to that. And a lot of people took it as like corporate bootlicking kind of stuff, or, I mean, to be as kind as possible, you know, he devs games and shit like that. So maybe he doesn't want devs' lives to be harder, which is why I say I'm on the farthest side. Cause I do not give a single fuck about how hard this is to implement. It just should not be possible. The same thing. Honestly, this is a similar issue, even though it's not, to multi versus beta. Like, sorry guys, beta's over. Bye bye. What do you mean bye-bye? What do you mean bye-bye? Like, I just spent money on this, dude. What do you mean bye-bye? So I thought it was crazy.
Bro will find any opportunity to bring up Multiverse. He's still
because
so
it pisses
that.
Me off, dude. It pisses me
same,
off.
I mean, same.
But to be fair to Multiverses, it's a good example of this because you can still play that offline, like you said, right?
Yes, you can. Yes.
Yeah, so that would be perfect. Look, I ain't asking for online servers. I'm just saying, like, can I please boot the game up and play it in any way?
Again, old head coming in. I was a kid playing Guild Wars, and I remember, you know, back then, like, the doomsayers that were like, eventually, like, you know, this game will shut down. Super impressive, by the way. Guild Wars just celebrated 20 years, which is really, really impressive. But I remember, take this with a grain of salt, because the guild member said they knew someone that worked on the game. You know, they probably didn't, but maybe they did.
This is real.
But they said they had discussed with them, and apparently ArenaNet had actually developed a way that if it ever came down to a time where they had to shut the servers down, they had some sort of thing that they could patch in that would allow you to still launch the game and play the game as a single player experience. Because especially Guild Wars 1, well, Guild Wars entire is like gameplay is all instance based. So you, even when you're in cities, there are multiple cities that you're in. So you're like in city NA1, you know, you're like in Drachner's Forge, NA1, NA2, all the way. And then when the game is popular, there's like 30 different ones, you know. And so it was all instance based. So technically that game could be converted to a single player experience. And they said they apparently did that. So what you're saying is, and I'm sure they've not done this, but basically if this were to pass moving forward, all games that are like Anthem that are meant to be like an online experience, before it is even released, it has a kill switch enabled that is like, if we're going to shut the servers down, we press this button and it allows it to be played without connecting to a server. Like, that's all that I'm assuming this is asking them to be able to do.
Honestly, it's even less than that, Nano. This is just being real. It's more like an internet movement thing that currently they're trying to get signatures in the EU so that they have to like discuss it basically. In a legal sense, but it's even less than that. It's just like, hey, can we please talk about this?
Got
the
it.
It's basically just the petition. Now, obviously, I think they have goals and shit, which would be like what you said. But it's really nothing that crazy to the point where even if you disagree with it, now is not really even a time to be super outlandishly against it because it's like not even a thing yet. It's
I,
like
I still don't, I don't. I guess I just don't understand the like. What is there to disagree with? Like, why?
I hey man.
Why
I agree.
Would you want the thing that you paid money for at one point to become a literal paperweight simply because like, the company is just like Anthem? Like that. I think that's the dumbest shit. I think
like
that
one
is
thing
so
that
stupid.
The main point or one of the stronger points they brought up is like in Blizzard's terms and conditions. It's like, we can revoke your access to the game for any or no reason at all. And it's like, I don't, you like, you shouldn't be allowed to say for no reason at all. It revokes that. It's like, what? Like, it's just not a fair term, which I agree with. Like, how can you just write that in? Like, hey, this thing that you bought, we could take it away no matter what, just whenever we want, like for whatever reason type shit, you know, but go ahead and enjoy it for while you got it, I guess.
So did Pirate Software do that just to be like contrarian, just like get articles about them
I'm not,
or something?
No, like, no. I like he did this really a while. He did this a while ago, and that's why honestly I find myself kind of like with the guy, not Pirate Software, but the guy's name was Ross that did it originally. I feel bad because I'm like 65% involved. I've only watched videos of the videos type shit.
Got it.
But he, I actually disagree with him because he didn't do a video on Pirate Software originally. Because he didn't want the movement to be about drama. But, I mean, now that it is, bro, like, it's shit really succeeding, bro. I think you should have honestly been about that drama, to be honest. But, no, he was just kind of, and I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm saying this as a guy that's watched Pirate Software shorts and things. And I don't watch him individually or see anything. But he does have this, like, energy that is, like, a little smarmy, you know, to put it lightly. And I think it's really creating like a good like straw man for people to like get hype over. It's honestly like if you told me he teamed up with the movement to like play the heel, I could believe it. But yeah, he just is kind of a smarmy guy sometimes. Not a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. He you know, raises like weasels and shit and has like a weasel playground charity and shit.
My only interaction are YouTube shorts as well. Like that's my genuine only like interaction with the content at all.
I just want to get that out of the way because I do think it's at the point where he does have legitimate haters out there.
That's why I was like asking if it was a contrarian take. Cause shorts are such a short bite of a person's personality and stuff. But what I've gathered from this person, and especially given the name Pirate Software, I would think that they would be.
I was watching an Actman video and he made that joke too. I never even thought of it like that. But yeah, his name is kind of a little weird. Like, bro, you should be pretty hype about this shit, low key.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem to totally match up. I was only aware of the Stop Killing Games thing just because I feel like a lot of people made like stuff over it. I was not aware of any drama surrounding it or whatever. I had seen Charlie make a video on it, but I did not click. So I was like, I'll try to figure out that drama later, and then I just kind of forgot. So.
Yeah, it's like drama I happened into, and then I was like, wait a second, low-key, this is stuff that I've been saying for a while. Like they shouldn't be allowed to do this, bro. And mostly
doing
again, multiverses, shout out multiverses.
Right now, while that's at its peak.
Yeah,
too,
I know, dude. Like, dude, this movement cannot stop. Maybe honestly, what if the Anthem guys, like low-key, like this is like a huge W for the movement. This is like exactly what it's against. Like,
did you play Anthem?
Hey, no, I didn't. That game's a piece of shit.
Dude, that game has the bones for the best Iron Man video game of all time, dog.
I would believe that. I saw it back when it was a thing.
That game is beautiful too, by the way. Like when I say graphics have plateaued, like don't get me wrong, yes, they do keep getting better. Like look at Death Stranding 2, but like comparing like PS4 to PS5 is still so minuscule compared to even PS3 to like whatever you think in your brain where you're like, that look like when people say that looks like a PS2 game, I'm like, dog, you've not booted up a PS2 game in a long ass time. That doesn't even look like a PS3 game. Like go boot up Infamous 1 and play that shit raw on a screen and you're gonna like not emulated, like purely from a PS3, and you're gonna go, I don't remember it being like this bad, like anti-aliasing and the textures are really low quality and like the game can look pretty at moments, but for the most part, like PS3 games, they don't look as good as you remember them do. Like they don't. So
Anthem did look good. I feel like the only reason that game failed is because it's part of a long line of failed games that try to add in like RPG shit, like pick-em-ups.
Yes.
I think that is a killer blow to any game that isn't willing to 100% dive into that. Like
Borderlands.
It's the Borderlands effect,
100%.
Yeah, it's the Borderlands effect, but Borderlands goes all out. It's like every gun is very different and has weird quirks, and it's pretty fun to like go around and look for stuff. But in Anthem, it's like, +2 to your strength. You will not feel this. Trust me. Yeah. It's like, bro, this is the most boring shit of all time. Like, well, Avengers is another game that did that too.
Yeah, Avengers, but they were trying to make that a live service game when they should just embrace it as this like really cool single player game. Anyway, all right. So here are the comments. I put them in key moments if you want to pull them up. I'm gonna go.
Oh
with
yeah,
Matt's.
This is. I did pull these up and then I was like, oh, and then I closed them because these are big discussions. Let's get into them, bro. I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. So Matt. We're going to go with Matt first. Disagreeing that gaming is a luxury is an idiotic take, especially now when new games are getting charged 80 or higher. I love that we've latched onto the 80 or higher when that just literally started.
Hold on, Nano. At least read his whole comment. Yeah, you can't eat him alive already.
Meanwhile, I'm not necessarily eating the... Anyway.
No, I was just joking. Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you look at a trading card game, you can buy one of the pre-built starter decks for like $20. So you can buy two starter decks for you and a friend. And even as a kid, I had a Nintendo console and one other console from the PS2 onward, and my family wasn't well off. No, people aren't just going to buy it anyway. There's a reason video game piracy / emulation exists. I don't think I've ever heard such an entitled comment from you. Yeah, of course you're going to just buy it because you get your money from people being charitable and for making videos on the games, so you get money back from it anyway. Sounds like you just completely forgot how the real world works. I think this was actually directly at you, Dotto. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
No, yes, it is. Because I made the take that gaming has always been a luxury, and that I, and again, this is one of those things that like people aren't going to say, but I still stand by. People will just buy it anyway if they want to. Fuck, I lost the comment. A few things I want to go through here.
Okay.
What I mean by I'm gonna just highlight a few things. Because one, I was in a similar situation as this guy. Like when I was young, I had a Nintendo 64 and a PS2. We actually had the exact same loadout. And I thought gaming ended there. Like, I don't know how to describe this, but I did not know that online gaming was a thing. I did not know that other games had been made. Like, I thought gaming was just something that Sony did.
You didn't have the PS1 and PS2. On your PS2?
No, I didn't know that online gaming was a thing. I literally didn't know it existed.
Damn.
And then I had the Nintendo 64. So I thought Nintendo stopped there, and I thought Sony peaked at the PS2 and gaming was truly solved. But other than that, that was just a fun fact. Listing trading card games is crazy, bro.
I thought that was an interesting take.
It doesn't even necessarily like stop your argument, because you're right. You can buy starter decks and play. But what is a more approachable hobby in terms of bang for your buck money? The answer is going to be gaming 100%, because you can buy Fortnite for $0 and use your phone. Trading cards, if you want to buy singles, you're fucked. I mean, buying singles would be the best way instead of trying to pull it. But you're absolutely 100% fucked. I know, as a guy that tries to play trading cards. And also another point, to your point, yes, I am very well off and very lucky and very thankful. But even I, Nano, when Ryan tries to tell me to buy a Yu-Gi-Oh deck in real life, I look at the fucking price and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that shit, dog. I can't afford that. It's, bro, it gets ludicrous. $1,000 on a deck, I'm going to be honest, even $100 on a deck is too much. But $300, $400, $450, $500, trading cards are crazy expensive. At least for like Yu-Gi-Oh. I can't imagine Pokemon. Like, that's got to be... Actually, I think playing meta Pokemon is probably cheaper.
I would love to say, I bet you Yu-Gi-Oh is more expensive than Pokemon. But
Yu-Gi-Oh probably is, as long as you're not collecting.
So I can totally answer
you, that. You probably are right about that. And then people aren't going to buy it anyway. I think people are going to buy it anyway. Yeah, it's just going to limit the amount.
Our little other comments on this video, one of them bringing up the GTA 6 comment with the fact that like, people are like, they Rockstar can list that game for whatever they want. People are going to buy it. Like, it's just an unfortunate situation we're in. So
I think people are, that doesn't mean I think that people should charge whatever they want, but I do think it's real. People are going to buy it anyway. If people like it, if all their friends like it, if all their friends are playing it, if the internet's, that's all they're talking about, people are going to buy it. it's just, like, again, if they want it, like some games in the same thing, I talked about how I'm like, I'm not going to buy Metroid. Like, I'm not going to give it a chance for $80 or 70, whatever it's coming out as, because I don't want it. But Donkey Kong, I will, and I will be buying Donkey Kong. And if Donkey Kong was 90, I would probably still be buying it.
Here's the problem with modern gaming, Dotto.
But Drew, like, I'm just human. But that's Nintendo's entire strategy. If people weren't going to just buy it anyway, why is anybody buying a Switch? Because you can play the games at better quality, at better frames, on anything else.
Yep.
But people want the game, so they'll buy it anyway. And if you have anything you want to say, you can jump in there.
This conversation was disjointed. And I re-listened to the last podcast just so I could hear what we said. We came back to this later. And so it's a very disjointed conversation that we had. And so I there was a comment I responded to, and someone said, are you doing like a corporate PR for Dotto here? And I said, whoa. No, I just remember our conversation, us ending off with the fact that my take at the entire time was that it has always been a luxury. I think, personally, it is less of one now than it was back then because of the pure raw accessibility, which then brings us to the other comment. We can go to this one. Jonathan Robinson says, if part of your gaming argument is piracy and emulation, then you're proving how rough the industry is. Not being able to get what you want through legitimate means proves that it's a luxury. Again, I swear on everything in that podcast, we say word for word that we still both agree that by definition it is, because it's not something that you need. So it is still a luxury. Anyway, there's a fair amount of people who don't even know what emulation is, or mainly know gaming through consoles and not a PC. Not to mention those solutions don't help younger gamers or people trying to play with family, because it hinges on someone being tech savvy enough and understanding what could be a scam instead of going to a store and buying a disc. Dotto, on this specifically, you called out just buying one of those like TikTok shop things that come with like 10,000 games on a handheld. That's all you were saying there. I still think it is more accessible because my comment earlier on like Infamous. So Infamous Second Son is a 2014 game. You can probably pick up for like $4.99 on PSN at any time, or go to like a used shop and buy it physically for probably like $5. And that is something that you couldn't really do back in the day. And even then, if you like, let's say like when I grew up in the mid 2000s, that if I bought a game from 11 years ago, I'm buying an original like Nintendo or Super Nintendo game or something. And that is a drastically different experience from what I would be having on my PS2, right? That's a, you know, 16-bit, 32-bit, whatever type, side-scroller type game probably, versus running around in GTA Vice City. But when you look at back 11 years ago now, right, and you pick up something like Infamous Second Son, you could put that in front of somebody who doesn't know anything about games, and you could probably make them believe that game came out yesterday. Because it functionally feels great, it feels really good, it looks good. Like, that is a game that you could literally buy for $5 if you have a PS4 or a PS5, and it's going to look great. And that's just not something that you could necessarily do back when, right? Like, you would have known you were playing an 11-year-old-ass game, whereas now, you're not. I just mean, it is, and this is, I'm just using a different example from just saying Fortnite, even though Fortnite is honestly, like, it kills most of this discussion, because Fortnite is on every device ever. Like, it's on the original Switch, it's on the Switch 2, it's on your phones, it's on your tablets, it's on fucking toasters. Like, it's literally, like, I just think it's more accessible. Yes, it's still a luxury. I think that saying it is the most accessible it has ever been is just a true statement that I just don't even think you can have an argument about. We can have arguments about other aspects of it, but it being more accessible, I think, is just a genuine, objectively correct statement. I don't know. That's the way.
My whole crux to this is the conversation was I was disagreeing with one point about why games were selling less, and it's that gaming is a luxury now more than ever. And I just disagree with using that as a point because I think it's just not. I just don't think it's even a good thing to bring up in terms of like moving a conversation forward.
Oh yes,
because it, but also
I forgot that was the original comment. You're right.
I agree that using like. The point of bringing piracy up actually, I think, is true. Like, bringing piracy up I don't think it's proving how rough the industry is. I actually think it's one of the opposite. One, I do agree with what you said, like, or of what I was saying. It's like, you can buy a TikTok device. I think that's pretty approachable for kids and probably something kids have done on accident at this point. But even then, if you look at the goal, at the service of piracy, piracy is not a money problem. It is a service problem. If you give people an easier way to buy something than pirate it, you will see piracy go down, which is something you've seen in the music section. It's just something that happens. Spotify comes out, all of a sudden people aren't downloading music illegally. They're paying money monthly to listen to music, which is a luxury, paying money to have just music whenever you want it. But because it's slightly easier than pirating every song one by one, and it's easier to hook up to your car or hook up to you, like, people will have shown through what they spend money on that they would rather have the ease of use than pirate it. So for gaming, I think it's much the same. It's just people pirate games, not because they, just because they can't get them anywhere else, which is a problem, which I know this isn't even the conversation, but I also think that's bad. Like, I wish, like, there was an easier way. Like, backwards compatibility is always, like, one of my biggest things on consoles, which is why, random shout out, but shout out to the OG PS3, one of the greatest consoles of all time. Backwards compatible with 1, 2, and 3. That was a good console.
Console, dude.
True. Console. And I'm an Xbox guy, but I can't lie to you. Sony kind of cooked with that one. So yeah, I don't think bringing piracy up is a good way to signify the industry, but I do think that it's just something that if you had a service, like if there was a, if like Nintendo Online where you could subscribe and, but I don't like counting Nintendo Online because I honestly think they just do that as a bonus. You just have the online anyway. But yeah, I don't know what else to say other than I deadass think that obviously money matters. Like, not every game can sell a lot if they're all like super high charging.
Yeah.
But the games that people like, people will buy anyway. And I don't know how to prove that other than just like, look at the world, like look at the state of things. It's just true. Like, if somebody wants the game, they're going to buy it. I'm trying to think if I have ever, anything else that I could even formulate.
This is always
to,
such a touchy. Like, it really is. Like, when I be looking at other podcasts that are mostly specifically gaming, like, this is the touchiest subject because everyone, I get it. We're talking about very real money in a hobby that is not cheap, right? Like, most hobbies are not cheap, but gaming specifically can be a very, very expensive hobby. Like, if you're trying to have like the best of the best, right? Like
if you're trying to do the newest games and just play them, like then yes. And also I get it because this is, I literally said this while we were talking about it, but this is a take that is very easy to disagree with because why would it not be, dude? Do I want my things to cost more money or less money? My answer is always going to be less money. And also just to let you guys know, even though I am pretty well off now and I do literally like the only thing I like spending my any excess money on is gaming. Even I like, bro, I do not be buying new games. Like, the last new game I bought was Death Stranding 2 and then probably Donkey Kong.
I mean, both games.
That I probably would have bought regardless.
Like, genuinely, like, I kid you not, I really want to play, Expedition 33. It's on my list, but like, I'm like, well, I really want to play Death Stranding 2 and Death Stranding 2, I think is the only game this entire year I've actually bought and paid full price for the entire, we are 7 months in. Now that could be a discussion of the industry at large. Cause there's not been anything that's really made me want to spend full price on a game until Death Stranding 2. But I'm like, okay, I want to play Expedition 33 and I do want to play it on my PlayStation. I know it's on Game Pass, but I'm gonna play it on my PlayStation. And I'm like, I want it physically,
Game Pass.
Which by the way, it's not even been in stock and physically, but I'm like, hang on. What I'll do is I'm going to finish 16. I'm going to play Death Stranding 2. By the time I finish Death Stranding 2, I bet you Expedition. And Expedition 33, by the way, is already a cheaper game. It's a $50 game at full price. But I'm like, I bet you I can get that bitch like on sale. And so I'm like, I'm waiting. Like, I'm literally waiting. And I'm probably going to, that's probably going to be one of my favorite games like of all year. But I'm waiting to get it discounted. Like, that is me. Like, I'm also not someone that buys games at full price. I wait for Steam Summer. Like, dog, I want Spider-Man
Steam
2 on my PC.
Summer sale right now.
But even...
Ooh, I've been looking at that too.
I look at it and I'm like, nah, it'll go on sale more than that. I'm like, I'm not giving them $47.99.
No, yeah, because right now they're... Speaking of money for games, bro. And funny you brought this up. Because I too have been watching the Spider-Man games. Because I'm like, you know what? I would play those if they're not on the shit S5, bro. But like, I know they're going to be on sale. Like, bro, patience in gaming can save you a good buck, bro.
It
like
really
you,
can. It really can.
So I've been going crazy. Like... And again, I'm not using this as a point against you guys because one of you did bring up consoles and obviously Steam Summer Sale isn't on consoles yet. Come on, Xbox, clutch up. But
I don't think they'll do that. Why would they do that, man? Why would they? Because then they're selling you this hardware that they're probably selling at cost at best. And then you're not even buying their games from their storefront.
Well,
I actually don't think they're going to do that because they just lose. They lose on all fronts, man. I mean, dude, Starfield's still $41.99. What are they doing? That is a 2-year-old ass game.
I'm not paying $41.99 at launch for that.
By the way, Rebirth is $41.99. Rebirth, which is a much, like, not much, but a newer game on... No, actually, they came out the same time. Why is Spider-Man still $47.99, man? And freaking God of War Ragnarok is,
too. Nana, you know what the reason is? Because people will pay for it, bro. Like,
people are still buying it at that cost.
That is the answer. Anyway, I just bought 8 games, and this is... I've done a few, like, Steam Summer Sale grabs, so this is not... all the games I bought, but I did just do a deep discount. Like I bought, I'm looking at it right now, Crypt of the Necrodancer, Blasphemous, Fury, Black Mesa Definitive Edition. And I the most expensive game I bought was Little Nightmares 2 for $3. So I bought a lot off the deep discounts list. I spent like $22, I think. So, I mean, I guess PC gaming could be influencing my decision here a little bit. But even then, I guess I'm a Game Pass subscriber too. Like, literally, that is my online for Xbox. And people don't like it for the physical reason. But if you're looking at just that, the only thing I'll disagree on is I just want to really point out, I am a cheapskate, bro. Like, trust me when I say this. Nano, do you remember the original deal for Xbox Game Pass where it would just transfer all of your gold to Game Pass?
Yes.
For like a dollar. I only just recently started actually doing Game Pass subscription, because when that deal came out, Nano, I loaded the fuck up on gold. I paid my $1 and I got like fucking years of a free ride, bro. Like, I was loaded up. Obviously, that's not a deal that was around forever, so that doesn't really count. But I'm looking for deals, bro. Like, I'm really not trying to spend too much on video games. Except for my PC. I mean, the PC gaming, I mean, the cost is going to be up front.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, the cost is up front on PC gaming. Dotto, I did mention we did a little something else in this particular episode before we geared up to go. And that, it was a big day for somebody, Dotto. Who was it a big day for?
Remember? You're talking about Bulma, huh?
Bulma's big day. Dragon Ball Z, the uncut series, episode 60, airing in Japan on September 5th of 1990 and in America on September 27th of 2005. We are like this close to the Funimation redubs. We are like this close. Like, I'm not even kidding. I think we're 4 episodes away from actually being back into where they like originally aired in the earlier 2000s, which is so freaking exciting to me personally. I'm just very, 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 very excited for it. So, anyways, Dotto, Bulma's big day. Not much to say here. This is the most filler shit of all time. The major events that the wiki has, shout out to the wiki saving us per usual, are Vegeta senses Gohan and Krillin and races to their location, and Bulma is able to trick her kidnappers into being killed by a giant crab. Their names were that was Raspberry and Blueberry versus Giant Crab was the battle here. And unironically, the two major events that they were referring to happened within the last about 60 seconds of this episode, which means the other 20 minutes of this episode are a whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of nothing. There is one scene where they are like hyping up the Ginyu Force, which, by the way, they do such a good job of hyping up the Ginyu Force here. At these pre getting to meet the Ginyu Force, which we do in this next episode, shots of them are so good. They're like really artistic, like kind of sort of like blacked out, shadowy still. Like, they were still doing that same thing as when they introduced them a couple episodes ago. And that shit is easily the best part, but it cannot save what was otherwise a dog shit episode of Dragon Ball Z to me personally.
Not even to you personally, bro. You could have left that part off.
Got it.
It was really bad. It was pretty fucking boring. It was pretty one note. It was just Bulma yelling a bunch and going, "I'm gonna die, don't kill me." The only funniness I could extract out of the whole episode was that when Bulma has her flashback, they fucking flash back. It went all the way back to Dragon Ball episode 1. It was like, "Oh, I wish I never went on this crazy Dragon Ball adventure." And then she was like a kid with Goku, and I was like, "Damn, that's a big jump."
So, do you want to know the differences from the manga?
Yeah, go ahead, Nana.
I just want to say the flashback was cool. I don't know. I thought that was probably one of the only redeeming factors outside of the ending of the episode. Goku using Kaioken on the spaceship to test his strength is exclusive to the anime. Are you surprised?
No.
Bulma being held hostage by Frieza's soldiers and leading them underwater, where they are then killed by a large crab in response for trying to take her eggs, is exclusive to the anime.
Wow. Shocker. Imagine it wasn't. Like, how, like, imagine reading it weekly as a kid in Japan and you turn the page on your magazine and it's Bulma leading two guys into a crab pit. Like, damn, dog.
Yeah. You're like, I waited a week for this. Like, damn.
I walked all the way to Family Mart for this.
Trivia for this one before we move on, just, you know, because this wasn't very meaty. But when Bulma is captured by Frieza's soldiers, she has a brief flashback about her and Goku's old adventures when they were dealing with Emperor Pilaf, along with appearing in a flashback in Spirit Bomb Away and on playing cards in Dragon Ball Z Bojack Unbound. This is one of Pilaf Gang's only three appearances in Dragon Ball Z. That's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, fun fact.
And we pointed this out while we reacted to it. You can watch our reactions again. By becoming a key member. But when Raspberry goes underwater, he has his helmet closed for one scene. Then he is shown with it open again for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it looked like it was a glass filter, but I don't know why they... or maybe I'm wrong. Because they definitely did show it, like, masked up, and then it was, like, I thought glassed over. But it still didn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. Dotto, before we move on, are you ready to rate this episode?
Yes.
So, as a reminder, the previous episode, Destination Guru, got a 2 from you and a 3 from me. So... Bulma's big day, man. Were you a big fan, or like I can't really gather where you're going with this. I know what I'm gonna give it. I've already put it in my sheet here.
All right, am I going first then?
You go first.
Well,
sure.
I'm already yawning, Dano, so I'll just fuck it, bro. I'll give it a 1.
Oh shit, we're staying consistent. I gave it a 2. It got 2 okay. points for some pretty cool Vegeta moments at the end and the Guinea 4. So that was my 1-2 points for that.
I couldn't even be asked, bro. Like, it was actually just that boring. Like, I was bored the whole way through.
It was a pretty bad episode. Like, through and through, that episode kind of sucked. Like, real talk. Now,
like, if you blinked it out of my mind, like, I would honestly be happier than...
We could have easily went straight to episode 61 and been okay. Like,
yeah, not okay. I would have been way happier.
So, that brings us to episode 61, which is Hidden Power. This one aired in Japan on September 12th of 1990 and in America on September 28th of 2005. So, the major events in this one are Krillin and Gohan align with Vegeta as the Guinea Force approach, and the Guinea Force finally land on Namek. It doesn't mention that Guru does do the potential unleashed, or like unlocks the hidden potential of Gohan. I'm not sure why it doesn't mention that, but that's pretty much it. We do get to see the iconic Guinea Force like introduction sequence here. Like that is this episode, them coming out of their craters and coming up on land with Jace. I believe it was Jace holding the briefcase. Is that right?
Yeah, Jace had the briefcase.
And then they do all their poses, and we have officially met the Guinea Force, which actually does make Frieza blush. Dotto.
He was kind of feeling it.
How are you feeling on this episode? Like, can we get a slight preview of maybe where you're headed, you know, on the point system here?
I think, like, yeah, you want me to actually throw my number up, or you just want me to loosely tease it? Because this was a much improved episode. Again, this is basically the natural, just the episode you'd want to watch. And it has the beginnings of a beautiful triage, you know, going on, and the main enemies, or I guess main sub enemies, have finally been introduced. Goku's on his way. I mean, this is like good Namek shit right here. I no complaints.
So the differences from the manga here are Goku breaking the rock doesn't occur in the manga, where he only catches it in his hand. The scene in which Goku realizes he smells is anime exclusive. When Goku takes a bath in the anime, his naked butt is seen. In the manga, he appears naked in the bathtub, but his butt isn't seen at all. The water also falls from the tap in his bathtub, which doesn't occur in the anime. Holy shit, how detailed are we getting, dog? Like, what?
Yeah. Okay, that last part was not necessary.
That was crazy. Goku choosing a sports drink over a beer from the fridge is exclusive to the anime. In the manga, Vegeta doesn't give Krillin the middle finger, whilst Gohan is having his potential unleashed. This was censored to a fist in Dragon Ball Z Kai. Yeah, so it's a side shot, and I'm like, Dotto, is he flipping Krillin off? Because I couldn't tell if it was like...
He was, but honestly, the English dub, like, why was he even doing it? Like, there was just no reason. He was like, hello, Krillin. Yes, I'm looking for the Dragon Ball. Don't mind the fact that I'm telling you to go fuck yourself.
And the anime, when Krillin shows up to the Dragon Ball from Bulma, to get the Dragon Ball from Bulma, the ball is tied to her leg with rope so that it does not roll away. In the manga, however, the ball was never tied up because it never got away to begin with.
Yeah, no, that one was obvious. And that is probably, it just goes to show how much better this episode is. That is probably the only funny part of Bulma's entire adventure.
Yep. So
that's it.
We have one tiny piece of trivia, which is interesting and a bit political.
Ooh.
Yeah. I know we try to stray away from politics on here, but sometimes
this is going to be a far right Daima moment.
Sometimes they do seep in. Birder was voiced in the majority of the 2005 broadcast of the Ultimate Uncut Edition by Vic Mignogna, who also voices Broly. This is an old note because he doesn't voice Broly anymore. And would also reprise Birder in Dragon Ball Z Kai and some video games. In the episode Guldo's Mind Binds, however, Mignogna, hopefully I'm saying that name right, only did two utterances of Birder's while the majority of his dialogue was performed by Chris Sabat, already playing Jason Raccoon, for unclear reasons. Sabat would redub all of Mignogna's material as a Genie Force member of the remaster season 2 release due to the latter being unavailable to reprise at the time. So
I was gonna say I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, same.
Maybe they were pretty similar.
I genuinely did not know. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I feel like mentioning Vic though, you know, it can get a little
I got heated in here, dude. Like, that was crazy.
I just wanted to get out ahead of it. Dotto, it's time to rate the episodes. Not too much else to say about either of these. I mean, these are definitely, this one was better than Bulma's Big Day, but that isn't saying a whole lot. These are definitely not the most memorable episodes of the series.
And I threw my score up, Nano. Maybe it's slight glaze, but I decided on it.
I'm feeling, so I can go ahead and say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm feeling a 6.
Ooh, I gave it a 6 too.
Oh, okay. Bro thought he was really glazing with the 6.
I did. I mean, I guess it's not too much, but it was good. It just, it's not like anything was going crazy. It's just a character meetup, beginnings of a team up.
Well,
Ginyu Force finally here, and the pose.
Let me see what a 6 is on the IGN scale. Okay, a little callback from the previous episode.
A 6 might be, if this was IGN, this would have been an 8, and they would have been like, how could we not give an 8 to the iconic introduction of the series' most beloved force?
What do you think, or do you know what a 6 is on the IGN scale?
No, I don't. My shirts aren't in yet.
It's okay.
This was okay.
So the examples include Wolfenstein Youngblood, Mario Party.
What the fuck?
Mario Party 10. Medieval.
Ew. No, stop, bro. This is not the 6. There's no way this is a 6 list.
And Assassin's Creed Chronicles China.
This is not the 6 list. Wait, there's no
wait,
way
wait.
That
you want to hear? You want to hear their 5 out of 10s really quick? Hang on.
Go ahead, bro.
5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 is
their
mediocre.
5 out of 10's got to be fucking harsh.
Crackdown 3.
If Wolfenstein
3,
Youngblood.
Crackdown 3.
What?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to say it.
What? Crackdown 3 isn't that 3. Good, but that should probably be like a 6. Like, if that was a 6, that'd be fine.
Are you aware of this game, Beyond Eyes?
No, never heard of it.
I haven't either. Beyond Eyes. It looks kind of like
Mario
an indie
game. Party 10 was a 6. Holy glaze, dude. What? Mario Party 10 isn't even playable.
Fallout 76.
Neither is Mario Party 9.
Fallout 76.
That's fine. If you want to give that a 5, that's probably over. That's probably too much.
And,
in my opinion.
And
probably
Moons
give that a 3.
Of Madness, which I also don't know what that is either.
I never heard of that one.
So, Dotto, I can't help but feel like I can hear some like music off in the background or something. That's strange.
Where did they rank Mario Party 9? That's what I'm going to be wondering for the next week.
Well, you'll have to tune in next week to find out. Don't Google it. Just wait. We'll definitely remember this bit.
You definitely want to Google it, guys. This bit is not getting brought up next week.
This bit is absolutely getting brought up in next week's episode.
Just Google it, guys. Just Google it.